Stop comparing yourself to other people. Stop looking at what they have and say, well, do I have that? I want that. No, 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 no. Stop comparing yourself to others. Listen, you will always end up in the wrong place when you start comparing yourself to others.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, welcome to Straight Talk. This is Mark Jobe. Great to be with you once again on the airwaves. I want to let you know that besides doing this program, which is a small part of the ministry that we do, I also pastor a church in Chicago called New Life Community Church. Now, this church is a bit unusual because we are one church, but we meet at 25 locations in and around Chicagoland, and we've begun to plant in other cities overseas in other countries, and appreciate all the prayers that and support that so many people offer us in this direction. But in Chicagoland, we meet at 25 locations and have 45 worship services on Sunday. Many of you have called or emailed asking about information, and you can find more information at www.newlifechicago.org. There's a map there with all of our New Life locations, and we meet in neighborhoods all over Chicago. Those congregations vary in size, they vary in ethnicity, they vary in location, but we all preach the same series, have the same discipleship program, are a part of the same one church. I meet personally with these pastors on a regular basis, practically every week I'm meeting with our pastors, and so I have a strong sense of confidence that these pastoral couples love Jesus, are on mission, making a huge difference in the city of Chicago. If you speak Spanish, we have about 10 or 11 services that are in Spanish. If you speak Mandarin, we actually have one Mandarin-speaking service that meets in the Bridgeport area. All the other ones are in English, but they're from the north side to the south side, east and west, and even in northern Indiana, in Hobart, Indiana. So God bless you. I hope you plug into a God-fearing, gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church that communicates the love of Jesus Christ, and there's a lot of great churches around Chicagoland besides New Life Community Church. We hope you find a church that you grow in and plug into. God bless you, and let's prepare today for this message.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Straight Talk. This is the second half of our message called Erasing Envy, which is from our current series, Emotional Intelligence with Pastor Mark. Let's join Mark as he walks us through the concept of erasing envy. We are in the book of 1 Kings chapter 21. Here's Pastor Mark.
You were happy until you compared yourself with someone else. Doesn't it always go down that way? Doesn't envy always stir up that way? You admire something, you like something, then you want that something. And it could be towards friends. It could be towards, it takes on a lot of forms. But someone starts comparing themselves to someone else. And then you kind of want what they have. And then you start to judge the person that has it and develop a negative attitude towards them because they have it and you don't have it. Then you become resentful. They become the villain and you start attacking them and they wonder, where did all this come from? Envy. Oh, it's a dark, ugly thing that pops its head up. And Naboth was pretty friendly with Ahab and everything was going okay while he admired it. But as soon as he said no, and Ahab started thinking, I deserve that vineyard. I'm the king. I could take a lot better care of that vineyard. It's closer to my palace than it is to his house. He doesn't even deserve it. What kind of respect does he have towards the king? Stage one is admiration and praise. But then there's a moment in where it can turn into envy. Very quickly. And that leads to stage two. Stage two, we grow angry and resentful when we are unable to possess it. So, verse three, it says, but then Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my forefathers. Ahab went home and he did what any mature, strong leader of a country does. He went home and pouted on his bed. So Ahab went home, it says, sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. We all have a little bit of a junior high in us, don't we? I wanted it. I can't have it. I don't know what's wrong. I just can get it. Now you mask it a little bit better. Now you're big. You're 230 pounds. And so it just doesn't, you don't want to whine and cry. What's wrong?
Nothing.
I made you your favorite. I'm not hungry. The same junior high popping up inside of you. You want something and can't have it. Ahab, the king of Israel, is whining about not getting his way, sulking about not getting his way. He's lying on his bed, not eating. And listen, it says he's sullen and angry because he's not getting what he wants. Now, I can guarantee you that during that period of time that his desire for something went ugly. He's saying, I wish I could have had it. It starts there. I'm disappointed that I can't have it. Then it gravitates toward, why shouldn't I be able to have it? Life is unfair. He doesn't deserve it. I work as hard as he works. I deserve it as much as he deserves it. Oh, let me tell you, that is envy spinning its way into your soul. They have it. You know you're envious when you can't celebrate someone else's victory, or someone else's success makes you sad. Come on, be honest. Someone else's promotion at work, you're not, hey, high five, you deserve it, I'm really happy for you. In your mind, you're saying, I work harder than they work. I deserve that raise. How come they got it and I didn't? Are you drinking with the boss out there? Is that how you got it? Listen, when you can't celebrate with someone, people that are envious, what happens is everybody else's success becomes your failure. So if you're in school, someone else's A makes your C minus feel like a failure. You don't celebrate the fact that they get A's. You look at what they have and you compare yourself to that and you become angry with it. So we don't celebrate with other people. We don't rejoice with other people. What they have, we start competing with, and then we start comparing with. And then, of course, every time you compare, you start getting judgmental about it. Yeah, well, they have it because... If I didn't have to work a part-time job when I was in school, my daddy paid everything, I would do better too. Wonder who cheated on their exam. That's what envy does. Naboth is on the bed sulking, and then enter his wife. Oh yeah, you know her name. You heard it before, Jezebel. That's who Ahab was married to. Yeah, the Jezebel that sent Elijah running for his life. The Jezebel that 400 prophets and army couldn't scare Elijah. But when Jezebel said, I'm going to have your head, he ran. Nothing scarier than a jealous, envious, conniving, manipulative woman. Jezebel was one. She walks in and says, honey, why are you crying? Why are you talking about it? I tried to get it. He won't sell it to me. Don't worry, honey. I'll take care of it. Get up, eat, act like a king. I'm going to solve it. And so Jezebel connives at this plan. She says, she connives at this, this plan, makes this deal so that she can actually get her husband his way. And it leads me to stage number three. We align ourselves against the person or people that we envy. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king of Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you your vineyard, of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she writes letters in Ahab's names. He can't do it, so she writes letter and signs his signatures. Like some of you wives, you know how to sign your husband's signature on the check. She writes letters in Ahab's name, and she conceives this idea basically to bring Naboth to the table, and she pays two scoundrels to testify against Naboth and say that he cursed God and cursed the king. So the people take him out and stone him and kill him. That's where her envy leads. You see, when you become envious, someone's at work and it's the new lady at work. And in the beginning, you like her because she seems like she's got this charismatic personality. Everybody likes her. She's friendly. You said, good thing they hired someone that's not just a cranky person. And so you like her and admire her in the beginning. And then suddenly, she seems to be drawing some of the attention and some of the friends that you used to have. And you go into the lunchroom and your friends are sitting around her and laughing at her jokes and this. And suddenly what you admired turns a little nasty. Hey, you going to go out with me today? We still have plans. Well, no, I'm planning on going out with someone. Yo, you're going out with her tonight, huh? And what happens is what you admired suddenly turns nasty, and now you begin to see that person as the villain. And you start turning them into the enemy. You start judging them. You start resenting them. You start having anger against them. And that's exactly what happens. And then you talk to your coworker and you say, hey, she's a phony, isn't she? You see how she laughs and tells all these jokes and everybody's around her. I know there's something beyond that. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, you know. I don't go for that phony, baloney, nice stuff. She probably stabs people behind the back, I know. And your coworker says, yeah, I think you're right, you know. So you get your own little conspiracy against the new girl at the office. Why? Because envy always wants to form partnerships against the people that we envy. You know, women are kind of like that. A woman walks in that other women feel like is an attractive woman, and women get catty about it. Oh yeah, she's probably superficial and phony. Look at her. And guys get competitive. Oh, he's got that? Yeah, who does he know? Who's he hooked up with? He probably cheated to get that. We judge people. It's all part of the whole envy deal and the whole self-esteem thing.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Erasing Envy, which is from our current series called Emotional Intelligence. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Our message, Erasing Envy.
Jezebel aligned herself with Ahab and began to concoct this idea. And James 3, verses 14 through 16 tells us that envy does this. It says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Look at verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Stage number 4. In stage number 4, then, we seek to damage and take from those who have what we want. So they hire the scoundrels to oppose them. The scoundrels testify against Naboth. They take Naboth out and stone him. Little does Naboth know that this is all a conspiracy because someone had envy. They get up to take his possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. Verse 16, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Proverbs 27 verse 4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? James 4 verse 2 in the Living Bible says, you want what you don't have, so you kill to get it. You long for what others have and can't afford it, so you start a fight to take it away from them. That's envy. And lastly, it leads to stage number 5. We reap the destructive consequences of our envy on our soul and on our relationships. Let me tell you, you become an ugly person when you allow envy to get a foothold on your life. You get real ugly. It damages your soul. It ruins your relationships. It makes you bitter, resentful, angry. It takes you to some dark, dark places in life. And Ahab finally took possession of the vineyard. Let me tell you this. When you have anger, when you have envy in your soul, maybe other people don't know that you're doing it out of envy. But let me tell you one person that always knows: God. Because God knows why you do things. God sees the motives of your heart. He sees, listen, some of you are doing things and buying things and getting things driven out of envy just to compete. Maybe there's a sister in your life and she always seemed to be a little bit ahead of you. And anytime she gets something, you have to get it. Anytime she does something, then you have to do it. Why? Because in your heart, you're harboring envy. She was always dad's favorite. But inside, you're driven by the envy. You can't celebrate when anything goes well in her life because you just become envious and jealous when something goes well in her life. And I love this. Ahab finally has the vineyard, and right when he has the vineyard, then Elijah the prophet shows up, because God always sends a prophet. God is always aware. So Ahab finally has the vineyard. He's walked strolling around the vineyard, and Elijah shows up, and so Ahab says, "So you found me, enemy." He said, "Oh, I found you. Because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have cursed Israel to sin. And also concerning Jezebel, your wife, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feast on those who die in the country." Listen, God says, you have brought upon yourself condemnation because you have lived in envy, and your envy has driven you to do deceitful, manipulative things, and I want to deal with it. It has caused your soul, Ahab, to become ugly. Now, maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I don't want to be that way." But it just gets me. I get sucked into it. It grows on me. I find myself being envious, but I don't want it. I try to brush it off, but I keep getting sucked into it. Well, I want to close this time together by talking to you about how to become envy resistant. There's a couple things you need to keep in mind quickly here. Number one, repent of the attitude of envy. You need to acknowledge if there's envy that creeps into your soul, you can't celebrate with others that are succeeding. Makes you mad when other people do well and get ahead. And you're not, you can't say, "Yes, great, you deserve that." Then you need to realize, you need to call what it is. A foothold of envy has gotten a hold of my heart, and I want to deal with it, God. I acknowledge, I admit, I've allowed envy to invade my soul, Lord, and I repent of it. I turn around from it. I do not want to be this way, God. Help me. That's the first step. Number two, stop comparing yourself to others and what they have. Learn to rejoice with others. Their success is not your failure. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Stop looking at what they have and say, "Well, do I have that? I want that." No. Stop comparing yourself to others. Listen, you will always end up in the wrong place when you start comparing yourself to others. You'll get pride if you have more than someone else has. And you say, "Ah, look what I have. You don't have that. Ah, I guess I'm a little better." And when you compare yourself to others that have more, you say, hey, why do they have that? I deserve it. I'm resentful. I'm angry at those and pride over those. Listen, it always takes you to bad places. Do not compare yourself to others. Learn to celebrate others' successes, to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. If someone gets a raise, hey, celebrate the raise. If someone wins a game, celebrate the fact that they won a game. If you're single and one of your friends gets married, celebrate the fact that they get married. Don't try to bash the guy that they're marrying on. Celebrate it together. Listen, if you're struggling with infertility and someone else has a baby, don't get envious. Celebrate the fact that they have a baby. Listen, if your business is struggling and someone else is going well, you know, celebrate the fact that they're succeeding. Learn from them. Encourage them. Take on the attitude of I will celebrate other people's successes because their success doesn't make me a failure. Thirdly, develop an attitude of gratitude and contentment with what God has given you. You need to start thanking God today for what you have. Bless God for what you have today. See, when you get envious, you begin to despise what you have. Ah, this is nothing. I want that. No. You better thank God for what you have today. Thank God what you have. You know, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. It gets kind of weird on Valentine's Day, right? Because if you're single and not dating, it's like, okay, well, you know, who's going to give me a card? If you're married and your husband forgets, it's like, all right, this guy, I married this guy. So you want to exchange him for someone else. Someone else wants to get someone else. Someone else is envious of that person or that. Hey, let me tell you, Valentine's Day is coming tomorrow. Thank God. Just thank God for where you're at. If you're single, praise God that you're single. You got a little bit extra time. You got a little extra money. You can go a little extra places. If you're married, thank God for the husband or the wife that you have. Bless them. Hey, this is what you have. Bless them for it. Thank God for them. If you're single, you could say, I wish I was married. I wish I had some kids. If you're married and you have kids in diapers, you're like, I wish I was single. I could do a lot more things. I could do this. You know, we could all compare. The grass is always greener on the other side. So stop comparing and start saying, thank God for where I'm at. Thank God for the stage I'm at. Thank God for where I'm at. Thank God for how I'm living. I will choose. I could be negative and ungrateful, but I will not. Thank God that on Valentine's Day, God loves me more than anybody in the world could love me. If I don't get a card, if I don't get a flower, I have God. Praise God that his love is unending. Thank God that he never fails me. Thank God that I am filled up with the love of God more than any other love could ever give me, this incredible, powerful love of God. And like I said, remember that ultimately your greatest treasure is found in God. Ultimately, envy comes out of our soul discontentment, our drive for worth. Listen, I feel like if I have that, I'll be somebody. It'll make me feel better. I will be somebody, have something. Listen, there's nothing in life that can make you somebody or add to your worth. You already have worth in God. Now embrace it. Accept who God has made you. Know that you are loved in God. Discover, I am a person of value and worth in the eyes of God. And I will live that. I will enjoy that. I am somebody in God's equation. And I will not chase the dangling carrot all of my life thinking if I just had the carrot, then finally I would be somebody. Because most people that chase the carrot and finally get the carrot realize that the carrot doesn't make them somebody. And they gotta have to go after the next carrot. You are who you are now. Embrace it in God. And allow envy to slide off you. Allow it to slide. Become envy resistant.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. This concludes the second half of his message called Erasing Envy, which is from our current series, Emotional Intelligence. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.